Hi, welcome to The Reading Revolution. I'm your host, Josh Gregory. We've got a great episode for you this week. We're talking fundraising with Readathon and a great collaboration that we're ready to announce with Inchi Bookworm Vending Machines and BookVending.com. My guest is Stephanie Davern from Readathon. The Reading Revolution starts now. Are you ready to embark on an adventure through the world of words? Join us on the Reading Revolution and let's explore the exciting world of literacy together. Stephanie, thanks for joining us here on the Reading Revolution. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
So let's start right at the start. Tell us about Readathon. When did Readathon get started?
Yeah, so Readathon, well, our company, Readathon, started about 10 years ago. I mean, I remember when I was young, long time ago, right? And we would bring home our papers to start a Readathon. And people were getting tired of it, right? So people started looking and going, we want, instead of all those traditional fundraisers that are raising and purchase, you have to go out and sell products and go door to door and interrupting the school day and taking up, you know, inventory space, people were starting to say, we want something that's educationally based and really is making a generational change. And as we both know, literacy and reading does that. So started about 10 years ago, and it's taken off since then. It's a really easy way to raise money. You don't have to have a whole slew of volunteers. You don't have to take time out of your day. It's really just fostering those habits that we all are wanting to create constantly in our student or in our children.
And I like what you're talking about, and I'd like to get into the nuts and bolts of how Readathon works. But right off the bat, the word ease, I think, is really a huge component of why people can get behind Readathon, where it is a package that it's easy to implement. And it's not like, as you mentioned, kids carrying around candy bars and where are they going to have to sell these, or the Tom Watt kit that I had when I was in Boy Scouts, right? And now I'm dating myself. But I think that that's a huge proponent of these, you know, affordable, and I'm going to edit that whole thing out. I'm just rambling here.
I think that's that, okay. You can ramble away. That's how I spend my life.
I think that's a great and huge proponent for Readathon is the fact that it's turnkey and it helps people raise funds in an easy way.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as you kind of say, we're dating ourselves. I remember carrying around gift wrap. I think I still have some left from when I sold it to my parents and they've since donated it to me. I think the ease of it is really important. And I think COVID sort of taught us all that we could have successful fundraisers and do it in a much simpler way and make an even larger impact than we probably would have thought we ever could have. You know, having been both in kind of the fundraising world for the past 20 years, and being a parent myself and having been on a PTA, there was nothing worse than, you know, getting cookie dough, which, again, I probably also still have some of that sitting in my freezer. But getting the cookie dough or having the kids sell that. And then as a PTA parent, you were frantically trying to find places to store it when parents wouldn't come to pick it up or families wouldn't. And you had to have 5 or 10 volunteers and you were counting money and you had contracts that you were locked into. And we really wanted to simplify it and be really, really good at one thing. And that is around literacy. So hearing people and saying people were looking for something that was easy, like we were just talking about, easy, easy, easy. Something that didn't cost them anything, right? Like how many different fundraisers are you having to put money out up front for what you think you'll make? And that can be a burden on a school. And then volunteers are just becoming more and more valuable, I say, every single day. And we want to make sure that volunteers are used to be used towards those things that really benefit the students in the school if they can directly be impacting them during the day versus helping the school raise money so that they can pay for somebody to help somebody during the day.
And I also like, and the fact that this is attractive to educators is, it's not just the end goal of raising the money. There's a ton of value in promoting that literacy. I mean, these kids are reading to raise money. So it's a two-prong effort that is a win-win for everyone.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always think of when you think of reading and a habit forms after, is it 20, 21 days? They say like 3 weeks. And so if you start forming that habit and you're doing it in something that's fun for kids and engaging, it's that win-win. And then there's also kind of that additional benefit of you're getting families to read together because it isn't just about a student sitting down and reading for X number of minutes. If a student can't read, a parent can read to them. It can be that shared experience and time that we so often lose these days when everybody is running between school and sports and, extracurriculars or church or wherever their time's being pulled, and parents are working multiple jobs. So this really kind of forces that commitment on family time too, which I think is a really nice kind of forgotten or lost art these days, if we can say that. And I mean, you have younger kids, and you think of how much you're running around and not being able to have that time.
And I will say that that is one thing that I do always look forward to. My daughter is an avid reader. We do the library. She's getting books from school. And I do look forward to that. And I think that there is a lot of value in having that family time to just sit down and read a book. You know, we've chatted about the benefits here, but let's talk about exactly how does Readathon work?
Yeah, so it's really simple. A school would go to readathon.com, and they would sign up. So they click sign up or start for free, enter a little bit of information about their school. We actually ask them for their teacher names, emails, and class counts because we print everything for them and send them out. Everything collated and separated by classroom, everything they need to run their event and their fundraiser. Students take those flyers and reminder sheets home. Families activate their accounts, and it's as easy as that. They start reading. People are starting to donate because they can share that out through email, text, and social media. So again, friends and supporters from all over the world can donate. Student is tracking and logging their reading. They can even do it in the classroom if a teacher would like to log classroom reading minutes. And then the school at the end reaps the benefits of the dollars and the additional reading time. And it's nice. I mean, we had a school that a grandparent from Japan donated $3,000. And of
Whoa.
course, it's setting off every flag in our fraud systems. But it was a true donation. And she said she had two grandchildren and had never been able to participate in a fundraiser because she's overseas. And she really wanted to do something big for the school. So we have that, or we'll have the stories where you have a family. In fact, we give a Disney trip away twice a year to one lucky student and their family. And we had a little boy who is dyslexic. He had been recently diagnosed, and they said reading with him was just a chore, right? Like it was painful to watch him, and it was 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And Readathon came along, and he wanted this prize. He wanted one of the prizes, and we have a couple different profit options. They can take all cash, or they can take a slightly reduced 80% cash or 75% cash, and then kids also get a prize store to shop in. And he wanted this prize, and they said it just spurred him on to want to read. And he ended up being our Disney winner through kind of a happenstance, so we were able to hear his story. But I think you get all these different levels of engagement and involvement and why people want to be involved. I mean, my son, when he was younger, was just about the prizes. He was not an avid reader. It was not a strong reader. It was a snippet out of the Guinness Book of World Records. And my daughter was just read because she just had a passion and a love for it. So she just needed somebody to say, we're supporting the school. And that was it. So I think we really try to find that fit in our profit models and making it that ease and simplistic kind of fundraiser in order to fit everybody's needs.
It's funny you mentioned that. When I was in elementary school in sixth grade, we had a Newbery book club, and
Oh.
everyone had to read 30 books that were Newbery titles, but there was a contest involved. And I was an avid reader. My mother was an educator. My father was a big time reader. So I learned to read at an early age and just was constantly reading. But I identify with that kid because, boy, when I found out there was first, second, and third, there was no way I was not going to be first. And the funny thing is I still have that medal I got from having read the most books that year,
No way,
and
you came in first.
which is
You
such a
you
cheesy
were the
thing.
winner.
I was the winner, but you know what? I look back and I remember so many of those titles, and now I get to share all of those with my friends' kids, with my own kids, and to say, hey, there's this whole world of books and wonder out there. So I think there was probably a benefit, even though I really wanted to just be first. But
Well,
anyway,
and
I
exactly. I mean,
digress.
it is a lot about or a lot of times about the contest and the winning, but I mean, you can have contests in so many different ways. It can be an individual, like you're talking about with the Newbery books when you were younger. It can be classroom or grade level, or you can have a whole school, like let's reach a goal together and this is what we're doing. And I think, as we started talking to you all and with the Inchi Bookworm vending machines, it was to us just a really nice, easy fit on why we'd want to partner together. Which I'm probably doing a spoiler alert a little bit on that one. But it was, reading is something that it's a habit that forms, but we really wanted to foster that throughout the year and have this very holistic approach to reading and building literacy in our schools, which are struggling in so many different ways these days.
So I'm going to circle back, but I really want to capitalize on what you just mentioned because it's a huge part of this podcast. By the time it airs, this would have already been mentioned, but let's talk about this great new collaboration and partnership that bookvending.com and Inchi Bookworm Machines have with Readathon.
Yes. So we are very excited. You can go to either of our websites now and find out more. We are excited that those funds that people are raising from Readathon can now be used to buy book vending machines and fully stocked vending machines, along with being able to incentivize students that maybe have reached a reading goal or a donation goal or classrooms. And I think what it does is it keeps reading and the importance of having books in front of children all year long on the forefront. Like it just keeps it in your face in a positive way, making sure that we have this environment within a school that just fosters a love of reading 24/7.
And it does. It's a natural fit. Readathon, book vending machine, books, all of that is in place. How did you hear about Inchi the first time that it popped into your radar?
I had been at a school that was talking about it. They had been one of our contest winners for a different type of a contest, and they just said that they had worked really hard for a couple years to get enough fundraising dollars prior to Readathon. That they had worked really hard for a couple years, and they've been raising funds and raising funds to buy a book vending machine. So I said, okay, you have to show this to me because I'm used to like a snack vending machine. Is there food in it? What is in this? And they brought me over to the Inchi book vending machine and they said, this is what it was. And I thought it was just such an amazing idea. They actually use their Readathon funds now that they raise each year because they had purchased the vending machine prior. But they use it to restock their machine constantly during the year. So it's not like a one and done that, you raise funds and you stock it once because they said it's getting more and more popular and they have tokens that kids get to use for rewards. And they really just want this very, like I said, literacy rich environment. So I asked them where they got it and they connected me with you all. And Connor and I started talking. And we just hit it off on, we started digressing into books and what our favorite books were and how that was. And it just went right from there. And it was just an easy, there was really no question in my mind. And I don't think Connor's of it just is a perfect fit.
And I love the fact that it is sustainable. As you mentioned, they might get a machine, they might have a machine. There's ways that they can use these funds to keep the machines going. So, I know when I was in band and in scouts and all those things, it was, oh, here it comes. It's cookie time, as you mentioned. It's popcorn time, whatever that may be. But this is something that could be done whenever, and then those funds are used for whatever they want. But again, it's not something that people look at and go, oh boy, I got to bring this home and help my kids sell it. This is helping my kid read.
Right. It's making it, I always say it is a generational change that we are making. And I'm not trying to, sound all high and mighty on that, but our educators to support them and be able to say, hey, we want to continue to foster this throughout the year. And in a lot of these schools, I think people always think of, oh, you have these, book and literacy rich environments just in high income schools. And this was very much a high title school that had that. And they were like, it's an even bigger necessity for us. They stocked it with Spanish books. They have a lot of ESL families or ELL families. And they're like, we want students to be building those personal libraries. And they have no other way to do it. And there has not been a parent that does not say, I want my child to be, more successful than I am. They all want that. Every family wants your child to be more successful than you or equally as successful. And reading is just such a foundation to all of that. So yeah, I think it's been a really great opportunity for schools that didn't have a way to fundraise before to get a book vending machine to use Readathon now. In addition, I think it really sets the stage for the whole year. Host your Readathon, and then get your book vending machine and continue that cycle and just have this amazing culture and environment at school.
So how long does a typical readathon last?
Yeah, that's a great question. So most of them are about 2 to 3 weeks because they want to start building that habit of reading. And of course, we know that after 3 weeks, people are going to start kind of getting involved in whatever the next activity is. So it's about 2 to 3 weeks. And during that time, students are reading, donations can be coming in, and the school is seeing those funds. So I always say it's like a reading forward fundraiser that has this great benefit of getting those dollars.
Can schools participate more than once in a year, or is there a recommendation of how many times they do it? And do they have the option of doing something longer? Is it customizable?
Yeah, it's absolutely customizable. That's what's really nice about it. Everything from the messaging that you send out that we've already got written, you can customize that to the time that you have it. We have schools that will run it for a month or 2 months. We have some that will run it all summer. We have some that do it in the fall and the spring. But yeah, it's absolutely 100% in that way customizable. You're making it your own, and you're making it not just a fundraiser, you're making it a whole school event.
What a great way to do something through the summer months where they have the summer slide, but to
Yeah.
be able to make it something that is beneficial for the classroom, but also benefiting the student instead of it just being, here's your summer reading list. Now they can take that summer reading list and actually help raise funds for any project that they're putting money towards.
Absolutely. And what a fun way to start the school year is coming back and saying, guess what? This is how many reading minutes we had over the summer. And by the way, this is how much money we're starting the school year with to do all these great projects that we've been waiting to do.
So who typically reaches out to Readathon? Is it a single parent, one of the teachers, a PTA? Who really starts this ball rolling?
Well, if I was doing a pitch, I'd be like, anybody can. But we have a lot of librarians, a lot of PTA, PTO families or parents that reach out to us. So librarians, a lot of times, are using it to build up their libraries or book vending machines and get that going. PTAs, PTOs, principals quite often are reaching out. And then we'll even get some of the literacy coaches and reading intervention specialists that will reach out and say, I need to do it just for a grade level. We have a class trip coming up, and so we need to just do it for that grade level. So it's really anybody but librarians, PTA, PTO, and principals are our primary people.
So when people decide that they're going to sponsor a student, and you mentioned that they can say whatever amount that's going to be, what kind of interaction, or I don't want to say reporting, but what kind of interaction do they have once they sign up to sponsor someone? Do they see how much the kid is reading and how much they're doing in real time?
Yeah, they do. They have a real-time dashboard. It can be customized and put images on it. A sponsor or a family member that donates can actually leave a personal message for that student, which I think is really great, and they're really fun to read. They can sponsor it and see it that way. They can see real time how much they're reading and how much they've raised, and they can see the school goals too, which I think is really great.
I love being able to leave a message because what another great way to say, hey, this is the kinds of things that I was reading at your age, or maybe open their eyes up to a whole genre of books that they might not have thought were really in, in their vision, that they never even considered going to that section of the library or that section of the bookstore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it really personalizes it and makes it a just kind of a more intimate experience for whoever is donating and for the student that's receiving those messages. I mean, I can tell you that when my kids graduated, I had everybody leave little personal messages, and they both have those to this day. So I do think those personal messages stay with them. It's kind of like with your contest that you were talking about before. You remember those things, and books are just such a very personal thing to people. One of the things that we've tried to really make sure that we do within Readathon is we have kids track on minutes, not pages. So we want them to read for enjoyment. We want them to read, I always say, those just right books that feel good to them, are at a level and a level that they're comfortable with. And I think it's really important that they do that versus like, I'm going to read a really easy book just to get through it because it's all on pages.
So how do schools or institutions, whoever's going through a readathon program, how do they actually promote to make sure that everybody is hitting on all eight cylinders when the program kicks off?
Yeah, so we send everything out, obviously, with those flyers, reminder sheets, the posters. We have a guide that kind of gives you tips and tricks so you can't screw it up. And then we have all of the messages written with reminders each day for a school, an admin of a readathon. So they get a text or an email saying, hey, don't forget to copy and paste this message into your system. We have videos for them. So we really try to take all that heavy lift off of them, have it just kind of turnkey. So day to day, all they have to do is copy paste, at the level they want to do it at.
So what kind of social media marketing are you involved with, or any kind of promotion that people can also take advantage of? You mentioned a contest winner who's going to Disneyland. How does that all play into the readathon day to day?
Yeah, so we try to do contests throughout the year. So our Disney contest is really encouraging kids to send their 10 text messages out. We know that when families get text messages, they're more likely to donate. Everybody is very instant these days and on their phones. It can be good or bad, but in this instance, it's really good. And so those kids are entered into that. Right now, we have a back to school contest. We want them to be focused around literacy and reading. So people can go and enter in 10 of their favorite fall reads, and we'll be giving a school a collection of those. So we'll be giving five schools actually collections of their top 10 reads. So we really try to have contests around social media, and we have a video contest coming up about, tell us what you've done to make your readathon successful, so that not only can they be used for other people that might be looking for great ideas, but they really are focused around literacy. And Disney World is, although not a literacy place, it still is just a really great reward for a lucky student.
And what a great way to keep that momentum going, to say, okay, we've read these books, but here's some other creative ways. STEM is such a huge thing now, so it's also involving a little bit of that in some of the arts to really kind of, you're promoting yourself in this wonderful thing that you've just done to raise a whole bunch of funds for your school.
Oh, absolutely. And I look at, having community members come in during a readathon, having those reading days. I know Connor and I were talking about how my son's a police officer, and If the local schools around here had those book vending machines, they would hand out tokens of you deserve a book, right? Like, great job wearing your helmet as you're biking along and having those positive interactions. And with Readathon, we really want the whole thing to be a positive interaction. We want kids to feel good about reading. We want them to feel good about whatever gains and efforts they've made. If they're supporting their school, kids can participate even if they don't get a single donation. And I think that's a really important part of making it equitable and equal for everybody that wants to be involved. They can just read. If you have a family that says we're not in a position right now to be doing that, but we've also opened it up to a really broad audience because it's international. So even if a family themselves can't support the donation portion, their extended family might be able to.
What kind of feedback have you received from folks who have been using Readathon to generate some funds for their schools?
Oh gosh, I always hear easy, right? That's our top thing, easy. They'll say I raised like 4 or 5 times more than I would have in any other fundraiser, and I didn't need all the volunteers. I was able to do it and get it started in under a week. So I hear about that a lot. People are really happy, I think, to not have to have that upfront cost. So we hear about that a lot. And then we really pride ourselves in our customer service. And we have live, real people still that if you have questions or they have concerns or they have an issue, they can contact their customer support person who is dedicated to them and forms that personal relationship with them. And we hear that all the time. It was so nice. They answered my questions. It was a real person answering my question. And then I think the other big thing that we always get is schools are really excited because parents and students are finally excited. They'll say parents love us because we're promoting something good, and students love us because it's something fun and it's making reading fun.
I think that's a huge component of the program is that if there are any concerns or some issues that someone comes up with, any of those challenges can be met by a real person rather than get putting into, that chat room hell that I've been in so many times where you're going back and forth with a bot that does not understand and it's hard to actually get in front of someone. The fact that you're offering that, I think, is probably a huge benefit to anybody who's on the fence about what kind of fundraising program they want to get involved with.
Yeah, and I think we try to make it really flexible for everybody. So if somebody prefers to email, they can email. If they prefer to call and want to sit and chat, they can contact and talk to somebody live. And if they want to text, they can also text us now too, their person directly. So it's a really nice way to try to keep everybody and their communication style on the, as a priority on how they want to communicate.
Well, we're very excited to be partnering with you on this. And I think, again, as you mentioned, it's a no-brainer. It goes hand in hand. For more information, where do people go to get involved with Readathon and get things started in their school?
Yes, yeah, so they can go to readathon.com to get started directly. They can go, I believe, right to your website, globalvending.com, and get information that way also if they are directly wanting to raise funds for a book vending machine so that we know we can all keep in contact with each other. And it takes just 5 minutes to sign up.
And where can we find you on the social media channels where people seem to spend a whole lot of their day?
Yes, so we have our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel, Instagram, we're across the board, LinkedIn, X, all of that. And our tag is at myreadathon, MYREADATHON. So at myreadathon is our tag on is our handle on everything.
Awesome. Stephanie, we can't thank you enough for spending time on the Reading Revolution. We're looking forward to a wonderful partnership and just watching this one grow. And hey, I know we'll be in touch, but all the best and all the successes, not only on your own, but together. We're really appreciative of your time.
Well, we are excited to partner with you all too, and it was great talking to you today. So thank you, thank you.
Thanks so much again. For more information about the Reading Revolution, please visit bookvending.com. If you would like to contact us or would like to suggest a guest, drop us a line at readingrevolutionpod@gmail.com. The Reading Revolution is hosted by Josh Gregory, with technical direction from Thomas Crane and David Gagan. The podcast is produced by Jake Blumberg and Connor Russo. The executive producer is Jay Blumberg. Thanks again for watching and listening. We'll see you here again on The Reading Revolution, where literacy matters.